think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart.
We don't have any idea why
we're
doing
so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing.
But here's the deal. No matter which side of the table you're on, presumption that you got it based on nothing else but your actual qualification and capacity to do the job is wrong, no matter whether you got the job or not. I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, on Applying for Jobs.
There are several stages of applying for a job. I mean, you know that something is available, or maybe you don't know. Maybe you're just sending resumes out cold, right? But you have some expectation that something might be available. And the first thing people know about you doesn't involve actually meeting you. It's some representation of you that you put together. And so there are lots of choices to be made about, well, how do I want this to look? How do I want to represent myself when I'm not there? So that's the first stage, which I think is stress-inducing for understandable reasons. If you do go past that stage and you get to where you're interviewing with someone, I mean, you don't know this person, you're having a conversation with this person. And if you're like most people, most of us spend most of our verbal communications with people who know us and whom we know. So now, infrequently, we're now in a place where we're talking to somebody who doesn't know us and whom we don't know, and we're unpracticed at that. So one of the things that is facilitating of this thing is to practice more. And one of the things I say to people often is, you know, whatever question is asked of you, tell a story about one of your experiences that goes with that question. Now, there are a lot of advantages to that. One of them is you actually experienced it, so you don't have to make stuff up. The other thing is you're reminding the person you're talking to that you've had experiences that are related to the questions that they're asking. Mm-hmm. So now there's a different way that that person is seeing you. Because, you have actually worked in that. I mean, I'm telling you about that now. And then the other thing is, because it's probably a story that you've told to other people, you have a different level of confidence about doing it because you practice telling the story.
Now, if you're applying for a job, one of the things that you have to do is to put yourself a little bit in the shoes of the person who's making the job decision or the people who are making the job decision. And so part of what that requires is to recognize that at these stages, as Bob was talking about, there are a couple of stages of trying to apply for a job. And at different stages, there is a different task that the committee or the individuals looking at your applications are going through. So early on, when there's 150 people who've applied for this job that you're applying for, they are largely in the business of rejecting applications. So because you've got, say, 150 applications and you want to get it down to maybe 15 people you're going to look at really carefully so that you can then get that down to maybe 3 or 4 that you're actually going to interview. In order to whittle a list of 150 down to a list of 15, you're getting rid of a lot. And one of the things we know about that from research is that when you're in a mindset of rejection, negatives become extremely important in that decision.
Yeah.
And so now one of the things you want to do is to really look at the application you've put together and try to find ways to eliminate or soften anything that might be a good grounds for someone rejecting your application. One of the places where I do a lot of evaluation is in graduate school applications. And while I don't care a tremendous amount about test scores like GREs, I often tell students, at least get your GRE to the point where it's not horrible. Because while we probably won't get you into school, it could keep you out because it might be something that someone would use at that early rejection stage.
Yeah.
What this means is you want to understand what is the process that people are going through when they're evaluating your application. So early on, you're minimizing the number of big negatives to make sure that you get into a pool that gets considered further. At the point where it's being considered further, though, now you have people who are in a mindset of trying to find someone who's going to have some real positives that they are going to bring to this job, particularly in a way that fits with the ideal person to have that job. Mm-hmm. And so part of what you want to do is now to look at this job and ask yourself, in what ways am I a great candidate for this job? And how can I demonstrate that to the people who are now evaluating this application?
Yeah, I think just for the, in the interest of mental health, the idea that we can reliably rank order people from most to least qualified, assuming that we can identify what the criteria are for being qualified, but assuming that we can rank everybody from most to least, is a fiction, right? I mean, we sort of can group people into this lump here seems pretty good, and this middle group of people, they seem not as good. And there's a, but the level of discrimination beyond that is pretty messy.
And even then, the criteria you use, you might put somebody in that middle group who really should have been in the upper group.
Yeah.
And there was just something about the way it was packaged or something that you saw in it that made you think that they were less good than they were.
Exactly. And I think one of the things that sets people up for not only disappointment, but, you know, questioning themselves and unhappiness and that kind of thing is to presume that when they don't get a job, there's something wrong with them that's, you know, prevented that from happening. If you presume that you're actually being judged in some non-emotion fuzzed way just by what your true qualifications are, you're setting yourself up to be really unhappy.
Tremendous amounts of randomness in the process.
Yeah.
And you can't take any particular rejection personally, mm-hmm. because a lot of these things have to do with factors that you would never have guessed. And I think that the reason why this is important is primarily because the attitude that we often project to other people is based on a particular self-confidence that we have, but also at times a sense of entitlement to be where you are. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the important things for people to recognize about jobs that they've gotten, particularly early on in their career, where they may be relatively unknown to the people who gave them that job, is because of all of this capriciousness of the process, it's having that job is not a reflection that you are somehow better than all of those other applicants, and you shouldn't act that way.
Next week, we'll talk about flexibility with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. And if you happen to be a badge holder at South by Southwest, check out Two Guys on Your Head as we record a podcast live at the Convention Center Monday night at 5. I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.